that moment. I was like, I'm mad at my baby. And I just knew I needed to make a change.
Hey, this is Palak, and what you're about to hear is a very special episode with one of the investors from our Portfolio Mastery Program. We call these Sensei Sessions. These interviews are designed to give you a perspective about what you can achieve with the right strategies and execution. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and be sure to check out the show notes for a link to speak with one of our senior advisors who can help you reach your investment goal.
So let's get members of the panel. You know, I'm like challenged with all the spotlighting. Ah, they're just going to magically appear, I think, right?
That is Miss Danny doing
Miss
her
Danny, best. Thank you. So what we're going to do is we're going to introduce members of our panel and have them introduce themselves. And I've got questions for each of them. So kind of like round robin questions for everybody. And then we'll kind of do more questions at the end. I think, are we missing? No, we got everybody. We have four members. I'm going to start with Eileen because you're right there at the very beginning. And I know that you've been in our community for quite a while and it's been awesome to watch you grow. But let's kind of assume that people don't know who you are.
Sure.
And how far you've come. Where do you live and what do you do outside of real estate?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks. Hi, everyone. I'm Eileen Moore. I live in New York City. And my background is in public relations and communications. So I did that for more than 20 years. And if anybody is in PR, it's a lot. So, it was taking a toll on sort of like my mental health and personal life. And, so I quit in 2022, and started freelancing. So kind of had enough contacts in the industry to pick and choose jobs here and there and make my own hours. And, so that was really nice. And, I think like at the beginning of last year, I was sort of like freelancing a lot, maybe like 30 hours, but like it's slowly like I'm taking fewer and fewer jobs because I'm focusing more and more and more on the real estate. And hopefully soon I'll just be doing the real estate investing full time and I won't have to take any more side. Like now the PR is my side hustle, you know, the real estate investing is my business. And so that's kind of an exciting like mind shift that
I love
had.
That. Eileen, can you explain to me like how, I mean, PR, and I get it. I'm kind of in that world as well.
I know. Yeah.
But so you're taking clients, it's your income. We need to make income. When did you start to 60, 40, 40, 60 that? Like, when did you like make it more realistic?
When did the scale tip to the other side?
Yeah.
You're saying? Yeah.
I would say there were a couple of different factors at play. And the first was, you know, I'm not cash flowing a ton right now, you know, but I think it was probably like mid last year. I thought like, okay, I'm just going to like take a few months to really focus on this, not take any more like outside clients with PR. Just for a couple of months and see how it goes. I would say like mid last year, it kind of tipped. The other factor in this is I am fortunate enough to have a spouse who now gets it. And I think we've had this conversation a lot and I've had conversations with just people on the side often. My husband is actually in the group and he's just a lurker, but we talk about, you know, I saw so-and-so's post. At the beginning of my journey, I don't want to say that he didn't think that what I was doing was worthwhile, but I just don't think that he saw the vision. And so like once I started to, you know, talk about, okay, well, look at what this property is going to be in 5 years and in 10 years. And meanwhile, it's appreciating and the tenants are paying my rent. Like I'm not, it's like a free house, you know? And so I think as I got him to understand the process, he was more, I guess, like open-minded to saying, you know what, like, that's good. Like I have a lot of the, you know, day-to-day, yeah, total lurker spouse, not in a creepy way. He's a great guy. But like, you know, as I was kind of putting the numbers in front of him, cause he's a numbers person, you know, and, you know, talking about in 10 years, I'm going to have this just with these five properties that I have so far. That's it, just five. And I'm not stopping at five. And so like that kind of really helped him because it's like, okay, we've got retirement funds and, you know, all that sort of traditional stuff. But now I feel like our roles are kind of like he's doing the day-to-day primarily financial wise, and I'm doing a lot of the long-term generational wealth building. So it's kind of, but it took him like a little while, you know, and like to read the successes of other people. And then he got very excited when we started talking about the real estate professional status and how that could help like offset
tax benefits.
Yeah. Taxable income. Yeah. He was like, yes, wait a minute, this is going to help me and, you know, my income. Like, yes,
it's going to. And funny, it's like, it's okay. A thing. Yeah.
So then like that helped him get on board too. But I think that that's a common thing. And I see like some head nods, like from Alan to, you know, I don't know if you've had the same experience, but like sometimes your spouses are just like, wait, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you just buying turnkey properties? It seems like it's so much easier, you know?
And it's like, you created,
they're not like creating any equity, you know? So it's, I explain things to people, but sometimes like they just kind of don't get it. And I'm sure everybody has somebody in their circle that just doesn't really get it. So he had a mindset shift, which was, I think, great for my journey. Yeah.
And the thing that I love about this specific journey is the cash flow. And I say this all the time, is I hate focusing on the cash flow because that is the last component. That is the least lucrative component of this strategy. So if you're cash flowing positive, I mean, you're making so much more money. You don't even know about it. Your property will have easy 40, 50K in equity. Each property you're borrowing is easy 40, 50K in equity. You can sell it anytime you need money. That's yours, right? Second, the tax benefits are incredible. I would add that to your income. That's your income.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So that you didn't have before.
Yeah. And we've already started to, go ahead. Yep.
And appreciation. That's all I was saying. The properties, they are 3% is the most conservative appreciation number that you can use. And it hasn't been 3% in years. It's been way more. Right. And that's just the money that you're making without having to invest that money, right? Because you're appreciating on the full amount of the property, not on the equity. If the property is 100K, the appreciation that you're making is on 100K. It's money you didn't even invest. It's money that you borrowed.
Yeah.
Appreciation is on somebody else's money. And that it's so many ways of making money with this one strategy and you don't even know it.
It's magic. You know, I love when you you walk through the process, Palak, and when you talk about, you know, the refi and like getting cash back and like, this is where the magic happens. You know, that's such a great part of it, but the whole process feels like magic. And I wish I had started it way, way sooner. And I definitely agree with you. I think that I had, when I entered into the real estate investing world, you think of like, oh, rent every month and that'll be great. And that's where the,
and that's good. Not, you need that too. Right.
Yes, of course. That's good. You don't want to do a deal where you're going to be negative cash flow each month, but if you're going to be $100 per month, that's great.
You're making so much money in other ways. You don't even have an idea. Yes.
So you mentioned 5 properties currently. So you started at the beginning of last year, you have 5 properties already. What is your vision? And you talked about more, right? Like the wealth of your family in the future, generational wealth, but like, what is the vision for you?
So my vision from a practical standpoint, just like the numbers of things, I'd like to have 15 properties at this time next year. So I did kind of 5 in my first year. I want to ramp that up. And so I'm really focused right now on scaling. So
love it.
I said it here. This is being recorded. Yeah. So that's sort of my vision. And to just be able to focus 100%, like I said, on the investing. And I always joke that I want to fly business class every time I get on an airplane.
Yes.
Speak it into existence, right? And what is the value of your portfolio right now? Just so we have kind of a base.
1.4 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's, every time I hear it, it's up by 200K. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Is it because of appreciation? Is that one?
No, it's because of acquisition. She keeps buying them. And
I mean, this is the ARV. This is the ARV. And 2 of them are like, you know, they're...
Don't backpedal. What is
they're underway. I'm just saying. Okay. That's it's awesome. 1.4.
Okay.
You need to do 1.5 when I get them refied. I will let you know. You'll be the first to know.
Let me know. All right.
Every time Eileen has done a refi, I don't want to say every time, most times I hear her say, oh, I was expecting this much, but I got all this much more money every time. That's because we're so conservative with our numbers.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah. And it always surprises me. And it's like,
I love it.
It's like Christmas.
I love it. It's like Christmas. I love that. Okay. Let's go to Alan now. Same question to you. Where do you live? What do you, where do you invest? Hang on, Eileen. Where do you invest? Did you tell me?
Jacksonville,
okay.
Florida.
Okay, gotcha. Yes. All right, Alan, where do you live? Where are you investing? What do you, hang on. What do you do? What do you do? Where do you live? Let's start there. What do you do? Where do you live?
Hi, guys. I'm Alan, and I live in Chicago, but I work in Seattle. So that's another story for another time. My market is Bloomington, Illinois. And so I just closed on in December my first property, and I'm receiving rent now from my first tenant. So I am in search of deal number two.
Amazing. What do you do for a living, Ellen?
Oh, I'm a plastic surgeon and I specialize in hair transplant surgery. So when I say plastic surgeon, I'm sure people think, wow, that guy's got a lot of
money. I want to be your friend.
Yeah, we want to be your friend.
All the women in their 40s are like, we want to be your friend.
Like, we all sat up. Like, wait a minute. Okay. I'm sorry, Alan. You were saying that people think that you have a lot of money. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and the thing about it is when you live in a high cost of living city, like I do, you end up, you guys all know what lifestyle creep is, right? You end up buying a lot of liabilities and not a lot of assets. And so for years now, I've been thinking about how am I going to change this? How am I going to get assets instead of buying things that take money out of my pocket? And more and more and more, the blogs that I've been reading, especially even physician blogs, have been talking about real estate. Mm-hmm. So I have been literally studying real estate for about 5 years now. I even coached my brother into buying a short-term rental in a vacation area in Illinois, but I couldn't figure out how to get going on this process. And so when I joined in August, I had my doubts. So all of you who are new here, I had my doubts, but I wanted to latch onto something. And coming here, teaching me the systems and processes has got me going. And within 3 months, I had my first property. And now I'm getting, I have a renter and she's moving in next week. So
that's awesome. Congratulations.
It's only been since August, but it's coming along well. And I'm in search of property number two. And it's just a matter of finding it before I pull the trigger on that one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so what is the ARV on that property? And then what is your vision for what you want in the future?
So in my market, I was lucky. I was able to buy a property for $62,000 and the ARV is $155,000.
Oh my God,
so that's where I'm at right good. Now. Yeah, and I was lucky too, the rehab costs. Zach was just talking about rehab costs in Jacksonville. I was able to rehab this for $40,000 and get it rent ready.
That's really great around this time.
That is amazing. Amazing. Okay. So vision, did you tell me the vision? Did I miss it? Like the hold is to like grow to something.
Yeah. I'd like to have 5 properties this year. And I don't know how many doors, hopefully that's more than 5 doors. Yeah. And I'd like to do, like Eileen said, at least 5 properties a year.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congratulations. Ellen, thank you. Kendra, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Cheryl, can I just ask one more question to Ellen?
Of course. Before
I go to Kendra, could you take a minute and kind of unpack a little bit about the thing you talked about, lifestyle creep and buying liabilities, because we don't talk about it enough. And I think it's so important that you brought it up. And you're a doctor, you're a high earner. And people always think that if you have good income, that automatically means you're building wealth, but that's not true.
Oh, that's so true. You know, the expression is so true. It doesn't matter how much you make, it's how much you keep. And you can get caught up in keeping up with the Joneses so easily, you don't even realize. Whether it's private schools, the cars you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, the handbags you carry, et cetera, it just gets out of control really quickly. And before you know it, you're surrounded by all kinds of great things, things that deserve to be on a Netflix, you know, reality show, and you don't have any assets. So getting into this and switching your mindset. I loved it when Pollock said she doesn't shop for handbags or she doesn't look for things. She starts looking at properties. And she said that on one of the very first calls that I jumped in on. I thought, wow, what a mindset.
Yeah.
What a way to live. What a way to think.
I bought it. It was, so we never had money for like a big diamond ring, right? But then when we made money, I went and I invested in a diamond ring, and I was like, I want to return this because I would have bought a property with this money. This was not right. I'm never doing this again. I could put a down payment on a bar for, you know, in the money that I put into that. And yeah, so that I totally understand this, and it's hard to remember this again and again, right? Because you see everything else happening around you, you're constantly being bombarded with things that you should be buying to because you deserve them or whatnot.
Have a good life. Yeah.
Have a good life. I worked so hard. I deserve to spend money on. Yes.
Yeah. Man, what a good point. Ellen, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Kendra. Hello. Hello. Okay. Where do you live?
Excuse me.
What do you do? Hello.
Hi. Okay. So I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm a professional makeup artist in the entertainment industry. During COVID, I can't even remember the year, probably in 2022, I closed down. I had an indie beauty brand that I created and had. So I closed that down. And truthfully, I my focus is on real estate. I am a real estate investor. I kind of joke now that I've gone from painting faces to painting houses, not literally, but it's like
so much.
I was thinking about it the other day too, when the Oscars were on, and I was like, I'm not doing anybody today, and I'm so happy. And if you told me 5 years ago or 10 years ago that I'd be like, I'm not doing that, I would have just been like devastated. Like something's wrong. My career is going down the tanks, down the tubes. But I love this so much that, this is where my focus is. This is what I want to do. I kind of veered off. What else was I supposed to do?
Oh, no, that was great. No, we really appreciate that. So where are you investing, and what properties have you acquired? And the
and what celebrities have you done makeup for?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You don't really want to know all that, do you?
I did not know that about you. We've hung out for 2 days in person at the bar. I still didn't know that about you.
Yeah. I know, because so can I just share something funny, because you say that, and yet I really do have a resume of a lot of celebrities, but it was so funny being with all of you guys. Like, I'd see people and it'd be like, Eileen, Effie, Sophie, guys got me. Like, I've never liked that around the celebrities, but like, you guys are my rock star celebrities. And I was like laughing at myself later, because I was like, oh my God, there's Pollen. Oh my God. You know, but it's a really big deal to me.
That is so funny.
So I mean, you guys are my world these days. Yes.
I love it. Well, maybe at the end you'll tell us who the celebrities are that you've done.
Truthfully, I've worked with everybody from Cindy Crawford, Justin Timberlake, like I've worked with a whole span of people. So it's a decent resume. A lot of amazing, talented people, you know.
That's about a panel of high achievers.
Yeah. I know, really, always.
Very, very fortunate. Just really, really fortunate. And I loved all of that, but I love this. And I also see this, you know, I will say this. There are a lot of colleagues of mine who fall into even like what Alan was saying. And, you know, everybody was so worried about wearing the coolest clothes, having the designer bags and the shoes and the whole thing. And they live in apartments, and they don't, like, I'm fortunate. I own my own home. Mm-hmm. And I never fell into that trap. And these are people that are like aging out of the business, because it gets very challenging at a certain point to live, you know, because it's a tough industry. And, you know, just physically and emotionally. And, you know, this is the way to set yourself up for the future.
Yeah.
So you know, I hate to sound morbid, but so you don't outlive your money.
Yeah.
Because if you're not paying attention, that is a real, that's a real concern. So, you know, it's all good and fine to be fabulous, you know, in your 30s or your 40s, but it's like, that's going to be so fabulous in your 70s and your 80s. It's like, you don't want to be, I don't know. I hope that doesn't sound awful, but you know.
No, not to this degree.
No. What is your vision, Kendra? Like, what do you plan to do
Oh.
with after this first depart after this first property? What happens now?
Well, on a little side note of that, this is so addictive. As soon as I went under contract and we were accepted and everything, I was really trying to remember what Pollock says. It's just like, you know, it's like just you need to focus and do what's in front of you, you know, most important first next step. But at the same time, there's this part of my head just kind of going, I want another one. Let's find another one. You know, so it was like, okay, calm down. But I'd like what I'm doing for Vision is I want to acquire a portfolio at 1.5 million this year. And I want to get all of my learnings and make my mistakes and do all of that because I want to scale next year and do 10 properties. I'd like to be, I feel like it's sort of conservative and maybe I should be less conservative, but I want over 10 million within 5 years. And I think that's possible. I
That's totally
really
doable.
do. Yeah.
Love it.
Love that. So good. So good. Okay, Rami, let's go to you. This has been so good. All right, Rami, where are you? Where do you live and what do you do?
Hi, everyone. So this is Rami, and I do this with my wife, Sarah. She's not with us today, but she's always with me in the process. We live in Sacramento, California, and we invest all the way in Michigan. We both are pharmacists, and in different field of pharmacy. I work in I have a background in regulatory affairs and retail pharmacies, specialty pharmacies, and Sarah works in the corporations side. She manages a whole regional team of an army of pharmacists under her in a very esteemed big hospital system here. And a little bit of background, we got married in 2021, and we wanted to travel and do all the fun stuff together. But then we hit a roadblock when we both found out that our jobs is taking a lot of our time and mental health and all that. Besides, we're double income, kind of also high earners, but the taxes are killing it. So, and we're not doing financially okay, actually. So we decided that in 2022 this is gonna be our financial year, and we're gonna focus on how we're gonna build our financial freedom. We stumbled into so many things. Like we was like, because of our professions, first, we're not trained to do things like outside of the box. We're trained to look everything very structural. You go to job to work, you work, and then you get your pay, and then that's it. We're very good at that, but outside of that, we're not. But we know that we can. So we looked into so many other things, like random things, like we rented our backyards, we rented our pool. We wanted to be a distributor for a commercial thing. Sarah, at some point, is like, you know that we can use our cars for ads for other people, and we can make like money. I'm like, oh my God, no, let's stop there. So we decided to try that entrepreneurship journey, and Sarah found the portfolio program on Open Spaces, and she resonated a lot with Palak's story, and she's like, oh my God, this is just like us. So we joined the program, and we were so happy with that because that was the best decision. We did a lot of like thinking, and the process was very rewarding joining the program. Learning, exploring, it's something outside of the box, but we actually made it happen. And on the same time, it's because I have a passion for real estate. So she's like, this is going to be yours, but let me help you with this. So we both dove into the real estate, and we were able to start there. And the same time, because the goal is to quit our jobs, but we still love our profession. We are pharmacists, and we love helping people in that healthcare journey. So we came with an idea of how can we make a business out of our profession. We created a company and we called it Elac Health. And that company also is a healthcare system that can help patients who are struggling in our very complex health system to navigate and get their health on track. So we kind of created these two companies at the same time. And while we're still in our jobs, because we need to supplement that, we don't have investors, we don't have like seed money. So we still have to have that income to maintain that. So what, because of the structure of our jobs, Sarah stayed in her full-time job and I was able to switch to part-time. So now instead of working full-time, I'm working like 2 days a week to focus, help the healthcare system and the real estate.
Oh, that's awesome. Gosh,
yeah,
this is such an amazing group. It really is. So Rami, what properties do you have right now? And you are investing, you said, in Michigan, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What's so your total portfolio ARV now?
So we have so far four properties and it's about 700 ARV total.
You just need one more to cross them, or maybe two more to cross them.
Yes, yes, yes. We just placed an offer yesterday on a house. So we're on it. We're on it. It's going to happen. Yes.
That's awesome. And what is your vision? I mean, you've got a lot on your plate, definitely a lot on your plate, but you want to make that plate bigger, I think. So what is the vision for the real estate part?
Short term, this year we want to finish the 10 properties mark for this year. I just want to have that 10. We're not so far from that. And maybe long term is, I don't know who I told the other day, I want to turn these properties into a hotel someday. And staying at that hotel, because I love hotels.
I love it. And you can do what you want when it's your own business. That is the beauty of it.
I love that. I love that, Rami. Thank you so much. Very original, definitely. Tasha, welcome to the Sensei panel. It is so good to see you. Welcome, welcome. So we're just going around. We're still kind of in the beginning part of this. Will you please introduce yourself and tell us what you do outside of real estate? What's your day job? Wait,
sure.
Where you live as well. I don't know if I
heard. Sure. My name is Tasha.
Hi. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Sorry, I don't know if I've met a lot of you guys. It's been a while since I've been on a call. Life happened. But I'm one of the pros. I try to chime in when I can in the Facebook group. But for those of you who have not met me, hello. My day job is I'm an attorney. I'm a partner at a large law firm focusing on intellectual property litigation. I also am a mom of two. My oldest is 8 and my youngest is almost 2 now, which is kind of crazy because I joined this program when I was on maternity leave. And I live in Houston, Texas, and I invest here in Houston, but my burrs are in Memphis, Tennessee, which is where my husband's from.
And what's your total portfolio size, ARVs, if you add up all the ARVs?
Sure. It's a little north of 1.1 million right now. And then additionally, not the subject of this call, but we also host on Airbnb through rental arbitrage, meaning we lease properties and then rent it out. And that's about an additional $3 million that we manage as well.
Amazing. Your burrs crossed 1 million already. That is pretty incredible.
Tasha, what is your vision? I know you're busy, like super busy, like the job, the kids, and then all of the real estate. But what's your vision as you're growing what you're growing on this real estate side?
I don't know what the portfolio amount would be, but, you know, we want to be somewhere in the 30 to 50 range of single family or doors, I should say, door range. I think that is sort of where we hit the financial freedom type number approximately.
What's your lifestyle vision? Like, what's the one thing that you want to have in life?
I think I would want to have the be able to take summer off with the kids. You know, I have young kids, so it's going to be a long time before I'm off the school year schedule, right? And so I think one of the things that's always been a long-term vision for me is to be able to you
Take the
know,
summer.
travel and take the summer off and spend time with the kids.
So this will be, I'm really glad you brought that up. I don't talk about this enough, and I should, because it just helps, build. If you have something in mind, then you kind of have something to shoot for. So I always like to talk about it. This is our third year where we're doing taking the summer and going out of the country to, and we're originally from India, so we'll spend a chunk of time in India and then combine it with a different country and have, and every time we've done that, I notice my kids come back with a whole different level of confidence when they're back. And it's, I didn't think that was going to be the outcome. I wanted to do it because I never got to travel as a kid. And so I wanted to, you always want to give your kids what you didn't have. And I feel like it's because when you go live in different places, it kind of makes you feel like the world is just made up of different people and we're all just okay just the way we are. And sometimes we need that reminder by experiencing it as opposed to somebody just telling you. And so I love that as one of your goals. That is my favorite thing.
I love that. And I think you're right. We don't talk about that enough.
We don't talk
And
about it enough.
have kids, you can only really travel in the times when everyone else is traveling, like the summer and the Christmas and the spring breaks and all that. So to be able to take off and enjoy that time with no reservations is amazing. Definitely
Yes.
amazing.
And the way we build this business is even if you have to do something, you can get it done no matter where you are.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter. So I love that. I have a question for everyone. Cheryl, is it okay if I ask this? Okay. So I've been thinking about something that I want to bring up and I want you guys to weigh in on. Oftentimes I hear people who have high income jobs or busy lives or kids, they say, I want to invest in real estate. I know it's the right thing to do. I'm just not ready right now. Or I want to do this. I have all the support at my fingertips. I'm just not ready to pull the trigger now. What would you say to them to what was the thing that made you decide it's going to be now? For me, it was, well, I want to spend time with my kids now while they're little, not wait till, I work my way through my fears and work my way through everything. And then I already missed the time I wanted to spend with them. And that was like my reason why I had to do it right then. And sometimes it has to be an emotional reason to push us to take these decisions, right? So what has been, what is it that you would say to someone who needs to start, but there's just something that's stopping them? And it's usually not tactical. It's mindset. It's related to our fears. It's related to our beliefs. Who wants to go first?
I'll at least start. For me, I'll start with at least, you know, what made me take action. I looked up, and the thing that I looked up and I was like, oh, I said I was going to do that a year ago. Crap, right? You know, I can lose, me personally, can lose track of time very easily, right? And let time fly by. And
All of
so
us,
the oh shoot, I said that a year ago, right? Was the realization for me. And then, you know, as far as what I would tell somebody is, you know, if you're not mindful of that, that's exactly what will happen, and you'll still be in the exact same place. If you're not happy with where you are right now, you know, what actions are you taking to correct that? And if you're not happy right now, why wait a year?
Yes.
Brilliant.
I can chime in also. So I'll tell like a personal story that might make me cry. When I was working at my corporate job, I was working at Spotify, and I would have dinner with my son, put him to bed, like he was six at the time, and then I would go back on my computer and work until 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, insane. And then I'd wake up at six and start working before he got up. And anyway, one night doing bedtime, he wanted me to read a second story to him. And I got mad at him. Like I got mad at my 6-year-old son because he wanted me to read a second story. And I was like, doesn't he know I have to go back, and log on, and I need to get this, draft or this thing to my boss. And I'm like, oh, how dare, I wasn't really saying that. I obviously was not saying this to my child, but I was just thinking like, oh, like I gotta get down. I have to log back on. I have to go, 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 go. And like really gets me emotional because in that moment, I was like, I'm mad at my baby. And I just knew I needed to make a change. And I had been stalking the real estate. I had been in that place, Alec, where it's like what you said of like, okay, what's keeping you from doing it? There were a ton of things keeping me from doing it. And the first thing, was kind of the nervousness. The other thing was I just didn't even realize what was possible. Like I live in New York, it's like so expensive. And but that was it. That was like, okay, I need to leave my job. And I knew that. But I also just like kept delaying leaving my job and kept delaying. And I said, if I don't make a bold move really quickly, like I'll be at this job for another year and I'll be like making really sad decisions when I could be spending time with my child. And I don't know, that just like that feeling of like getting mad at my kid because he was preventing me from like going back and logging on. It just, I realized that my priorities were like
You're
really
working hard.
So anyway, I will also say that the nervousness that I had is like that's what this group is for, and that's what I tell people that, you can be nervous about it and like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Oh my God, you're so like friends will tell me like you're so brave. And it's like, yeah, it's a little bit of being like brave and ballsy, but it's also about having the network and like Palak and Nitty have created this thing where it's like, everything is there for you. All the steps are there. Follow them and trust in the process. And like, and that's it. So yeah.
It's like those what are they called? Buttresses that support a building up, right? You put those around you so you can build up.
Yes, for sure. That's what the group is.
I'm gonna have to keep a box of tissues
I know,
here
me too.
whenever we have a sensei panel because you made me cry.
I
I made
know,
myself
I know.
cry. And Cheryl, yeah, Cheryl got any more. We're gonna need whenever there's a sensei panel, just like
I
please
know. That's what
remind
kids
me.
will do to you, man. I mean,
Oh
they
my
just
God.
you
Sometimes you
know.
realize how much time is lose you're losing, and
Yeah.
yeah. So, well, oof.
And I feel like our generation, we also put so much responsibility on ourselves and every interaction we have with our children and what impact they're going to have for their future, that it's all the more important for people in our generation to have that stability and to have this kind of time, because breaking the cycles that have been perpetuated this whole time in parenting requires so much time and energy. It's not just about, hey, flip a switch. Now you're going to parent differently. It's not like that. It requires so much effort, and to have energy to put in that effort, we need to have our finances set up so we're not working 20 hours a day and we have the energy left to put into doing what we being a parent the way we want to be, which is not how some of us were parented. Our parents worked hard and they didn't know the impact things were going to have. So yeah, so I love that you brought that specific example. Amy is crying. Rosemary says, "You're not alone, Eileen. You have me crying over here because I've done the same to my kids and then feel miserable later. That's one of the main reasons I'm here." Can I just say something here? Guys, you guys, moms, parents, dads, like any guilt you guys have, this is what we're going to do. Take a moment here. Wrap it up in a box. Put the guilt in a box. Wrap nice wrapping paper, imaginary, put a bow and like throw it out. throw it out the window. Yes, everybody's doing their best given the circumstances they're in. That's what it's all about. And Anne says all the parents are crying. Yes. And I'll tell you, my mom worked really hard. Like, she was a teacher because my dad passed away when I was five. She had a furniture business on the side. She rarely had time. And it wasn't always very pleasant because she was stressed out and she was trying to make ends meet and she was still wanted to push me to like do my best. Never once did I feel like she didn't care about me.
Yeah.
Right. So if that makes you feel any better, if you look back when your parents worked hard and sometimes like they weren't the best that they could be with us, like we still knew they cared about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the parent face you put on. You just have to like bury all the stress and, you know, and you put your parent face on, you do your best and you love them. And
if you don't, they know you still care about them.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So, all right.
Sorry to bring it down, guys. Who is that was inspiring to say?
everybody in Zoom is crying today. All right. Well, I don't even know what my question was.
you want me to take over, Paula?
Yes, Cheryl.
Okay. So, gosh, all of a sudden, like these are always so good because I think we get different every time we do these. Just a different. Aspects of our real estate journey come out. So, we've talked about it a little bit about Burr itself. And I think it was it Kendra who mentioned it? Like, you're like Burr, once you found Burr, is it Eileen? Everything's kind of running together, but I know that it's all kind of the same for every one of us. What is it about this process that you, over the course of one property for you, Kendra, 4 for Rami, 1 for Alan, 5 for Eileen. Do I have the numbers right? Okay. That you're still continuing to see, and Tasha, I can't remember now. 2, is it 2? That you're still continuing to see how this can work to build the vision that we talked about in the very beginning. Can you talk to us about that? Because I think that could help the people who are joining us today, who are in all stages of the Burr, right? They maybe are just before the B. Or maybe they're at the R, wherever they are, they're at whatever stage they are in the Burr journey. How are you seeing it still work for you? So I'd love to hear that.
Rami, maybe you can go.
You've been called on, Rami.
Sorry.
No, I like it.
So, sorry, just to recap, what was your question exactly?
Talking about Burr, sorry. How do you still see Burr working for you? Because we've talked about, Kendra, I think, was the one who said that it was just, when you found it, you're like, this is it. How is it working for you, Rami? How is it working to help build the vision that you want?
Why is Burr the right strategy for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a lot about that.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, personally, we, Sarah and I, we like challenges, okay? And we always hit the like that we want to do the best. And we always remember what Palak says. This is the black belt of all real estate. Once you do Burr, you can do everything else.
Yes.
So I'm like, wow. Okay. So we're doing the top of all real estate. What do you call it? Like all the real estate visions and stages. So if you do Burr, you can do everything else. Or okay, great. Now, once you get into Burr, if the process itself, it's broken down, thank you to you, Palak, and you break it down in a very good way that it's so structured for us, and it's addictive, because once you finish the first process, or the first part, and you see everything coming up. I'm like, okay, that's good, that's working. And then, but what about the first step? Let me do it again. And the thing is so addictive, you don't wait until the last part to do it again. No, you'd be like in the second or third one, and it's like, no, I like the first one too. Let me do it again. So because it's, and when you put it on paper, like it's, you're looking at the deals, right? And these deals are coming to your email, whatever you've seen on the MLS. And you find one, you started on it, you put the offer, you got it, you started the rehab, you're doing the rehab, and now contractor is taking its course. And these deals come in, and you keep seeing them, like, wow, there's another one that's really
I
good.
want
I'm
it.
finally looking to it. I want it. Yeah,
I
exactly.
freaking want to
And
sell that diamond ring whenever I see that. Why did I do that? I should have done that deal.
the good thing about Burr also, each step, once you're done, there is a rewarding part of it. So when you close on buying the property, I'm like, wow, I have a house now. That's amazing. And when you start like working on the rehab, and when you're done the rehab, you see the progress between before and after. That's very rewarding because we all love before and after pictures and makeovers. Like it's I think it's a science now. Like whenever there's a video or something like, oh, before and after, Alan will tell us. And so that's the rehab. And then you, okay, when let's rent. Oh, it's exciting. Am I going to get a tenant or not? Like, either you're doing it or property management. Once you get the tenant, they sign the lease. That's so rewarding. And then you get the first rent hitting your bank account. Like, wow. And then the refi, that's the biggest one. That's like, for me, it's very nerve-wracking getting the appraisal. But once you get it, and you put your faith in it, and you get that like appraisal, and then and you refi, it's like, oh, the property is stable now. Let's put you on the side, and we'll do it again. So it's really rewarding in every part of it. That's how it works for us, because it keeps
Love
us
that.
like going.
Yeah, there is a
That's the
dopamine
first
hit.
time. Yeah, well, that's the first time I've ever heard of it, like a game, almost like a gamification.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
after every step, it's like, oh, here's my reward, here's my prize. Rami, that was very good. Really good.
That is not something I've heard before. I love that.
Yeah,
It's so true. Like now that you say it, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that's true. And when I'm between properties, I'm like, where's my next step? What's happening here?
I'm not getting
Yes.
the hit. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what? If you want to be addicted to anything, be addicted to building wealth.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, better.
Anyone else would like to address that? Why is Burr still the right strategy for you?
I'd like to say
Kendra,
something about
Alan.
that.
Yeah, Alan.
So, this sounds really obnoxious, but searching for homes, you have this primary residence mindset. So in my world, homes are like starting at 500, maybe 750, and then going up to some crazy number. And anything below 500, I didn't even know that existed. But because Pollock and Nitti created a program that got our eyes to open up and look at things, namely distressed properties in neighborhoods that are C and D or B and C, excuse me, and then create equity, force appreciation through this process, made this doable for all of us. All of us, whether it's through MB Capital, whether it's some money you've come across, et cetera, now this process is doable and repeatable. But if your eyes, if you have blinders on and you don't know that there are properties less than 750, well, then you're out of luck when it comes to a down payment. You're out of luck when it comes to rehabbing that $750,000 property. It's not going to happen. But if you now know that you can work in these neighborhoods and look for these specific properties and keep your rehab budget to a specific number or less,
And
and
borrow
then
majority of the money so you can keep most of it.
you can keep most of it and do this over and over. It was not possible. I was so confused about this process before Pollock and Nitti's program that I couldn't get started. I was lost. I was paralyzed by these high dollar amounts that all I could think about. I can go to a Burcon for you guys and sell this program because this is amazing. if someone like me, who is a perfectionist, whose mindset keeps you from acting, who allows the firefighting of all day, little busy work to get in the way of your long-term goals, like I'm sure Tasha goes through every single day in her office. You can't get anything done because someone's knocking on your door and wants you to leave your office. This will allow you to break free from those roadblocks and those mindset roadblocks to get going. And doing it through Burr is something we all can do. And I didn't even know that. Mm-hmm. I had known about it through Bigger Pockets, but they don't give you the systems and processes that you need to get started. Amy Andrews was in our group this morning, and she has laid down the foundation to start laying out, sending out offers. Kudos to you, because without this program, you wouldn't have set up those base layers of building a business that you needed to do. And now that you've got it, you're going to start firing out offers. You're going to start getting properties. It's going to happen. And it wouldn't have happened without this program.
That's awesome, Alan. Thank you. Okay. Before we go, we're not going right now, but if you're watching, please drop your takeaways that you've gotten from our Sensei panel in the chat. And then I want a last word from everybody here in the panel. So I'm going to start with Tasha. What has been your
big... Tasha is like, wait, me?
Yeah. That's why I'm going to keep talking so that you can think about it. What has been your biggest learning moment and mindset shift? And I know you're super busy, like super, super busy. So I'm going to keep talking. What has been your biggest learning moment and mindset shift that you've gotten over the last couple of years that you've been here in our community? This is an incredible group. And I know hearing this helps us.
And sure. Yeah, leave us with like an empowering, pump us up note.
No pressure.
Make the shift. Oh, yeah, sorry. Make the shift. You've got this. Yes.
I might have to come back on the pump up note because I didn't think about that. But I'll tell you what my biggest sort of takeaway has been over my time in the program. And I'm going to make up a word. Corporize your real estate. And what I mean by that is, you know, I know how to do the job of a lawyer and a professional, and I was an engineer before a lawyer, so I get that part. Apply that same skill set to real estate. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, got it. You know, and so that was a big mind shift. You know, I learned a long time ago that I wasn't going to be hanging, you know, trying to fix things, because that's not my gift. And if I'm doing that, like, I won't be in the business a long time, right? And so focusing on, you know, the strengths that I have in the, you know, my day job, and applying that to the business is, I think, the big takeaway on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's that. Awesome. Corporizing. That's what you said, right? Okay, yeah. We're going to look that up.
So Tasha was an engineer.
Yeah.
And then she's an attorney, a mom of a toddler and an eight-year-old, and a real estate investor with I don't know why I wrote all this down, but $4.1 million portfolio. That is insane.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that. Okay, I'm going to go to Eileen. Eileen, what is your biggest mindset shift takeaway from being with this program?
There's so many. Something Palak touched on. I think it was Palak. My parents.
I'll take credit.
Okay, it's you. You're great. My parents were very much like, go to college, mm-hmm. get a job.
Yeah.
You know, you invest in your 401k. You know, you do the thing, you retire. So like, it's like I'm sure a lot of you have read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know? And so I grew up in this like sort of poor dad mentality. That poor dad wasn't poor. He had a good right. job, but it was yeah. just like status quo. You're not building generational wealth. You are beholden to a boss who dictates what is happening with your time. You don't have that freedom. And so like, I've always kind of wanted to be on the side of the rich dad, like entrepreneurial and like, oh, like I, my brain just goes that way. And like, not in the way that my parents taught me. I wasted too much time lurking in that world and sort of like that was my mindset shift of like, it's not just gonna like fall on my plate. Like all of a sudden I'm in this kind of like entrepreneurial world where I can like dictate my own time. Like I have to make a shift to be in the rich dad world. And so, yeah, it was like kind of, it's possible. You just have to shift your mindset and shift your actions too, to follow that mindset. Cause I just daydreamed about it for years and years and years. So that's just been like the hugest thing to me. And I will never go back to the corporate world. I won't.
I mean,
it's nice not being there.
Safe to say, like, we're different people, right? I mean, you're a different person in a sense.
100%. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so much happier. And like the people around me, like they know it.
Yeah. I love it.
I feel it.
Thank you, Eileen.
Yeah.
Kendra, how about you? What has been your biggest learning moment and mindset shift?
I'm like Eileen, a lot of them. On a little different note, I'll say that because of this program and this community, I am not alone and you are not alone. And that's huge. I'm a take charge person and I'm used to, you know, it's like, I don't depend on other people to, you know, to do things for me. And I've reached out to people. I have support through this community that I know for a fact is the reason why I'm able to do this. Because when you have questions and you don't know, first of all, Pollock and Nitti have put together a blueprint. And, you know, if you study it and then you go back, and that is one thing I will say, reviewing, you know, my accountability partner reminded me when I was in the closing time, she's like, go back and read watch the rehab things, because then things start coming up and you're in a different space now in, you know, in the process in your mind, and you pick up these little nuggets that, oh yeah, yeah, I need to remember this stuff. But anyway, I digress. But I think this community and the support and empowerment that it gives us, it really helps us gain so much more than we could have on our own. So it's just a little bit of a different takeaway, but there's too many to, you know, I could take up my own sensei session with all of my takeaways.
And that's coming too.
That's coming.
All right. I'll get there, but yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. Rami, now to you. Biggest takeaway, mindset shift.
I think it's just like what everybody said, this community helps a lot with the mindset that you can have. It's for us was, seeing all these people, it just makes you feel comfortable getting out of your comfort zone. Because what we're doing is outside of what we do, and it's outside of our comfort zone. But when we see people doing it, that means, okay, they can do it, we can do it, and be comfortable saying that I'm not comfortable. So it's just like that. Like any questions you ask, you can, people comment on it, and they help you with it. And if they don't know, they say, we don't know. And that's very valuable. You're getting it from someone who is on the same level, different level. And it's just like when you go, especially if you go on the Facebook and or like these sessions, each comment, each saying or talk, anyone is a little gem. Like we learn a lot still, like whatever level you are right now, you're still learning. Like, we hear a lot, and it's just I personally read a lot of books, and I like to listen to people, and each I get a lot of lessons because I like to learn, and each one of us give a different lesson and just gives you a perspective. It's like what you Palak said, like, you know how we travel and you see other people, oh, there's a different world right there. It's just like each one of us have their own world, and you just like exposed to that world, and that gives you a lot. and to me, this is very valuable.
Invaluable, right? Rami, thank you so much. And you, Alan, please share your takeaways, mindset shifts.
My biggest mindset change is that mistakes are going to happen, It's okay. Just make the mistakes, but keep going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of questions online on their Facebook group about what am I going to do about my bank account? They want my home address, or what am I going to do about my LLC? This sounds wrong. And you get paralyzed being afraid of making mistakes. Go ahead and make the best move that you can. Keep moving forward. If something is actually wrong, you will fix it in the future because you can fix it. And then just keep on going, because I was so afraid of making mistakes. I studied real estate for 5 years and nothing happened. And to bring it home, my wife said, well, you said that before, nothing's happened. And so I finally got on it. I joined this program, which was scary, and things started to happen. Mm-hmm. Whether it was starting the LLC, meeting an investor-friendly realtor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just started happening. And when things come up and I don't really know, I just take it on faith that it's going to work out, and I do it. And so this guy said the rehab budget was 40. Okay, sounds pretty good to me. The list looks pretty good. Scope of work, I looked at the modules, checked it out. It seems pretty good. Let's just do it. Let's see what happens. I get done in a month. Just do it.
Hmm.
Take action steps and do it. You'll fix your mistakes. We've made plenty of mistakes. I'm going to make some more, and we'll recover. So that's the biggest mindset change. Don't be paralyzed by fear.
This is such a good panel. I mean, really, thank you all for joining us. I don't think we have time to go into a breakout, but some of these takeaways from folks who are watching are just amazing.
I just want to say my favorite part about this panel and every panel, but today specifically, what comes to mind is I've seen you guys when you first started, mm-hmm. and I've seen you go through your fears and your questions and how do I do this? Am I really ready? Like, should I pull the trigger? What about this one thing? What about, and then seeing you go past that and then go past something else and go past something else and be here today and share as investors, show up as investors and share your learnings with people who may have not known you then. It's amazing to watch this transformation. Like, that is the biggest gift that, and it's a privilege to watch your journey. So thank you for letting us be a part of it.
Yeah. Thank you. Because I think it was Eileen that just said it. It's this confidence, right? It's like you become a different person. You know, you still have the same
person,
you know, the same warmth and all, but as far as the confidence piece.
And so much when we know that we have a say in how our life goes and we can control our future. I mean, what confidence that builds in us, right? Like, that is an amazing thing to have.
Yeah.
All right, Cheryl, take it away with the takeaways.
Oh, let's see. So many. Amy said, I'm in this phase right now. And it's so scary seeing those who've been through this phase and are on the other side gives me courage. And I think that is the key, right? I mean, we know people who are joining us, maybe they're watching on Facebook or they're here in the room with us right now, that maybe they just started into the program. Like, we know that. And it is scary, right? I mean, scary, yes. It's still scary for me. I mean, and then now it's like you're on to the next thing, right? Kendra, you're looking for your next thing. Ellen, you're looking for your next thing. It's like, you know, nothing's going to stop you. And if you have questions, you come back here into the community. Okay. Anne and Randy says, being a part of this community is so beneficial and a prime factor in each of us having success. Let's see. Oh, Rose said, takeaway. Not sure how people are chosen for this group, but the Open Spaces team does an amazing job cultivating this community. Yeah, that's for sure. Let's see. Oh, Pradeep said, Burr builds the resiliency muscle. I like that.
Mm.
Eventually helps with other aspects of life. Firmly believe this. Yeah. Have you seen this happening in other parts? Have you, like, it's not, of course, a one-to-one thing, but have you seen this kind of maybe attacking our fears that you see in other parts? Do you see that?
Yes, absolutely. What do you guys think? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm seeing nods. Yes.
I'm seeing nods. I know they're thinking it's good. It's so good. Black belt of real estate. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Was it? It was Rami that said that. Okay, you need to write that down, Pollock. yep.
Yes.
Let's see. Yeah, we're all crying with Eileen. Yeah, that was. That was good.
Yeah.
Good.
Should I just add one last thing and then we can say goodbye?
Yeah.
So as we go through our journey, what I found is for those of us who are not trust fund babies, we were never taught to experience success. Experience of success is a whole different animal. And at every stage, I learned to experience it differently because you achieve different levels of success and you have things that come up that you didn't think were inside you, that you didn't think you would have to deal with. So as you move through your path and as you move through this journey and as you achieve smaller successes and then bigger successes in this path forward, when you hit a roadblock, just know that it's because we were not taught to experience success. I don't even know what it's going to be like to go beyond this. And if there's one thing that you're doing this for, let it be for that, to experience success so you can teach that to the next generation. And that way, when they experience this level of success, they won't have that struggle.
On that note, we're going to say thank you for joining us. Sensei
Love
panel,
you guys.
Thank you all for being a part of this and sharing your wisdom and your takeaways and your mindset shifts. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We will see all of you next week with more success.
Don't forget, when you're ready to get serious, you can join us at the investoraccelerator.com.
It's like getting 1,000 episodes worth of information in 5 days, and it's everything you need to build your actionable plan to financial freedom and making work optional.